This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sharmila Ganesan, together with Lim Soo Ann and Juliet Jacobs. And now on to our second story.
So we have a Twitter poll, as always, and we're asking you if you think that women who go on maternity leave should still be on call for work. So 58% of you say that no, they shouldn't be. 36% of you say it's only for emergencies. But 6% of you say that yes, women should still be on call for work, even when they are on maternity leave. So you can take that poll. Tweet us at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Or if you want to call us, the number is 03-7733-2900. And so the reason we're asking you this is because if you're active on social media, you might have seen a Facebook post going around by Deputy Minister of Women, Family and Community Development, Hannah Yeo, that has been that she wrote. So she wrote, she was writing about how when she and Minister of Energy, Science, Technology, Environment and Climate Change, YB Yeo, when they were visiting some media headquarters, YB Yeo Bee-in was asked about her upcoming maternity leave. And in that Facebook post, YB Hannah said that some of the questions directed at the domestic minister were along the lines of, and I'm quoting here, what's going to happen to Linus when you give birth in March? Are you going to be working on it, or are you going to take your 90 days leave? And that's referring to, of course, the rare earth processing plant, which has been scrutinized quite closely by MESTECT. Mm.
No, of course she's going to go back to work straight after giving birth, right? I mean, no, how dare she take her 90-day leave?
And also, I mean, this is a ministry we're talking about. Yes. Surely there are people other than her who do the day-to-day work, right?
Exactly. Obviously she oversees things, but...
Yeah, and I guess I understand that there is perhaps a curiosity wanting to know who would be in charge. But like you said, Sharmila, there definitely will be plans, because you're not talking about a small company.
Right. A one-man operation.
Yes.
Among the ministry's most notable work has been related to the issue of illegal plastic waste imports. So just in the last few days, YB Yeo Bee-in has and her ministry have been making headlines across the world, with the announcement that Malaysia is returning those 42 shipping containers of illegally imported plastic waste that is being sent back to UK, in addition to the 150 containers that were previously also returned to their country of origin. So we've sent back almost 3,800 metric tons of unwanted waste to 13 countries, including countries like the US, the UK, France, Japan, and many more. And that's part of MESTECT's larger efforts to ensure that Malaysia does not become the garbage dump of the world. I'm quoting, after Malaysia saw a drastic increase in foreign plastic waste being imported when China announced its own ban in 2017.
Yeah, so in YB Hannah's post, she wrote that the MESTECT minister, quote unquote, works harder than some male ministers and has been producing great report cards. But yet the media is highlighting her absence during her maternity leave rather than, you know, celebrating and rejoicing that the nation can finally tap into this brilliant young woman's talent in the cabinet. Mm. That's quoting YB Hannah. And she also says that we still need to fight hard to remove these inconvenient arguments about pregnant women and mothers with young children being in the workforce. Otherwise, we would be depriving our own labour force of what many of these women and young mothers can contribute to it.
Yeah, so she was saying also how it indicates that there are still biases, and really it shows whether it's conscious or unconscious on women's right to take maternity leave when they are given that 90 days of leave. And so pregnancy discrimination can have quite a significant and long-lasting effects on for the woman's career, but also for the workforce of the country as a whole. So earlier today, I spoke to Tan Hyang Lee. She's the Advocacy and Communications Officer with Women's Aid Organisation, and I wanted to ask her about her insights or WAO's insights into the challenges that women face in the workplace, especially for mothers and when they go on maternity leave. But first, I asked her to explain what pregnancy discrimination actually means and what it encompasses.
Pregnancy discrimination happens when a woman is fired, not hired, or is treated unfavorably because of her pregnancy or intention for pregnancy. In Malaysia, WAO did a survey, and we found that about 40% of pregnant women whom we surveyed had faced discrimination in the workplace. For instance, they were made redundant, denied promotions, placed on prolonged probation, demoted, and terminated. And the discrimination also happens at the point of recruitment. For instance, about 40% of women whom we polled were asked by interviewers if they were pregnant or had plans to become pregnant in the future.
Mm-hmm. No, in this case, right, when YB Yobin was asked by journalists about her, you know, her work responsibilities during her maternity leave, is it surprising that someone like her was asked about that?
I think it shows that no matter how talented or capable a woman is, she can still face pregnancy discrimination. And it seems that her credentials and accomplishments are overshadowed by the fact that she is pregnant. And I think the underlying assumptions of these comments mm-hmm. are that pregnant women and mothers are not committed to their work.
Mm. And why do you think that sort of bias almost is still persisting here in Malaysian society?
Yeah, you know, actually, when it comes to bias against pregnant women and mothers, it's actually quite a common occurrence. So there was a study done by researchers at Cornell University, and they found that mothers are perceived, and the thing to highlight is perceived, they're mm-hmm. perceived to be less competent and committed than women without children, even when they have similar credentials. And this is what researchers call the motherhood penalty. But in contrast, fathers were perceived to be more committed than men without children. And this is known as the fatherhood bonus. So there is, you know, definitely gender discrimination in terms of how pregnant women and mothers are perceived. I do also want to highlight another reason. And this is that childcare is often assumed to be women's work, and women still bear a disproportionate burden of caregiving. So we also need to equalize the share of caregiving work borne by men and women. So one way to do this is to introduce paternity leave. Mm-hmm. So currently, fathers in the private sector, they are not legally entitled to any paternity leave. And this is why Women's Aid Organization, we have been advocating for at least 7 days of paternity leave for the private sector. And this is what fathers in the public sector already received.
Mm-hmm. And I think you mentioned some of this earlier, but what are the challenges that women, especially mothers, face in the workplace when, you know, that it's leading up to them taking maternity leave or even when they are trying to return to the workplace after having a child?
So when women become pregnant, they may fear being perceived as not committed or incompetent. So they may actually overcompensate by working even harder to avoid such negative perceptions. The challenges that they face also really depends on how supportive their bosses or colleagues are. Mm-hmm. Sometimes women may not receive the accommodation they need, especially when they are experiencing medical conditions related to pregnancy. And sometimes bosses and colleagues may make assumptions about what pregnant women can and cannot do and therefore deny them opportunities. Mm-hmm. And once they return from maternity leave, they may find that they are sidelined or not given important projects. The implications are that many talented women are sidelined in the workplace. Mm-hmm. We know that, you know, many women will likely be pregnant at some point in their lives. And if we were to not hire them or to not promote them because of this, this means that we are holding back nearly half of our talent. And we need to bear in mind that women in Malaysia are highly educated. Women actually outnumber and outperform men in higher education in Malaysia. And yet these gains in education are not translated to the workplace. So for instance, Malaysia's female labour force participation rate is one of the lowest in Southeast Asia.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, on your point about paternity leave, so other than that, do you think there are other measures that employers can do to sort of counter pregnancy discrimination or hurdles that women face, whether it is conscious or unconscious?
So one thing that employers can do is to not ask job applicants whether they are married or pregnant or planning to become pregnant. So as I had mentioned earlier, this is actually quite a common practice during recruitment. And it basically means that many women who are pregnant or are planning to become pregnant are denied job opportunities. So employers need to stop asking these questions. And the second thing is to recognize bias against pregnant women and mothers. So these biases, they may be unconscious and unintentional. And in order to counteract them, we first need to recognize that they exist. Mm-hmm. And the third thing employers can do is to create a supportive workplace for both working mothers and fathers. And this can include introducing flexible work arrangements and so on.
Mm-hmm. On a policy level, on a governmental level, do you see hopeful changes happening perhaps that would improve what it's currently like now?
Currently, women in the private sector are not protected from gender and pregnancy discrimination. Mm-hmm. And one positive thing that the Ministry of Human Resources has proposed is a provision in the Employment Act to prohibit termination due to pregnancy or during maternity leave. So this has been proposed, and we hope that the ministry would go ahead with tabling and passing this proposed amendment. The second thing is that the Ministry of Human Resources has proposed an anti-discrimination provision in the Employment Act, mm-hmm. which would cover various grounds, including pregnancy, gender, and marital status. However, our concern is that this provision would only cover existing employees and not job seekers. And we know that women often get asked about their pregnancy status during recruitment. So we urge the Ministry of Human Resources to include both job seekers and employees in this anti-discrimination provision, which they have proposed. And mm-hmm. the third thing that the Ministry of Human Resources has proposed is to introduce 3 days of paternity leave for the private sector. You know, as currently there is no paternity leave in the private sector. So this is a positive step, but we feel that 3 days is not enough. So Women's Aid Organization, we have been advocating that this paternity leave is extended to at least 7 days, which is what fathers in the public sector currently receive.
Mm-hmm. What role do you see the media playing when it comes to countering this type of biases and discrimination against women in the workplace?
I think, you know, when, you know, women such as, you know, high profile women, you know, are pregnant and they go on maternity leave, I think it's important for journalists to not ask potentially discriminatory questions such as, you know, what will you be doing, you know, during those how many months of maternity leave, that's one. So just to be mindful of the types of questions that women get asked. And it's also noteworthy that we seldom ask fathers whose wives are expecting, you know, what will they be doing once, mm-hmm. you know, their wives give birth. So that's one. The second thing is to also, you know, highlight stories of women in leadership positions, public figures who are, you know, balancing work as well as family well. And I think of examples of how there was once a member of parliament in Australia who was, you know, breastfeeding during parliament, mm-hmm. The parliamentary session. And, you know, I think these examples show that the onus is on society as well as workplaces to create a supportive environment for working parents, and that it is possible.
So that was Women's Aid Organization's Advocacy and Communications Officer Tan Hyang Lee. And so if you, Hyang Lee mentioned this as well, and if you look at the numbers when it comes to Malaysia's female labour force participation, it's not particularly encouraging. Mm. And up until the third quarter of 2019, that's last year, only 56% of women in Malaysia are part of the labour force, mm-hmm. compared to 80.9% of men. And while there are various reasons for this, the low number, the lack of women in the workforce, the discrimination towards pregnant women is... you can't deny that it is one of those reasons.
Mm, with the high recidivism as women get married and have children, yeah. and so on, right? Hyang Lee mentioned this as well, that we have seen some changes being introduced by the government and policymakers to facilitate women going back to work. The Women at Work initiative, for example, which was announced during the Budget 2020, included several aspects to help women get back into the workforce. And this includes things like maternity leave in the private sector being increased from 60 days to 90 days, a 500 ringgit monthly incentive for 2 years for women who return to the workplace, and extended income tax exemptions until 2023 for some of these women.
Yeah, so I guess there's still a lot of work to be done, mm, to definitely. to get women back into the workforce. And because in relation to the topic as well, we had a Twitter poll running on social media. We were asking you if you think that women who go on maternity leave should still be on call for work. So 60% of you say that no, they shouldn't be. 35% say only for emergencies, but 5% think that yes, women should still be on call. Mm-hmm. And we also have some comments coming through on Twitter saying that motherhood is a big topic. I would suggest listening to Catherine Goldstein's Double Shift episodes, and also to read Forget Having It All by by Ida Tarbell. And also another WhatsApp came in saying that I'm wondering how many of those who said women on maternity leave should be on standby are actually women or women who have given birth before. So I've personally not given birth before, but just listening to friends and family who have been through it, especially those who don't have help. New mothers barely get enough sleep, so why should they be expected to be on standby for work? So all of us come from somewhere. A mother who was willing to carry us for 9 months and then to give birth to us and care for us. So we should be thankful that they prioritize babies and ourselves at some point overwork, at least for the first 90 days. Yeah.
So I can really relate to that because I went on maternity leave last year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, of course, the company was so supportive, you know, and nobody expected me to do work. I was the one being irritating and, you know, answering emails and such. But one thing that did really, I suppose the word is, trigger me was like people asking me, are you enjoying your break?
Mm.
I'm not sure. Definitely people without children, like, you know, maternity leave is not a break. You are looking after this tiny thing who is, you know, so susceptible to anything. And it's a you don't have sleep, you know, you're trying to breastfeed. If you're not, you know, you're just trying to make sure that they stay alive, basically. Mm. And you're doing this on so little sleep. And at the same time, you are worried about what's happening at work because you do feel that you are at a disadvantage as well. Like, you know, when I get back to work, am I going to be able to function? Am I going to, you know, are people going to look at me differently? Are they going to say like, ah, okay, we cannot trust her with stuff because, you know, she's going to be, her mind is elsewhere.
Mm.
And so there's all these unfair sort of concepts come onto you, and it's really quite stressful.
I think there are really there's so many different aspects to it, right? And one of this is the assumption that somehow when a woman becomes pregnant, like in YB Yobin's case, and that she's going to go on maternity leave, that inevitably her work is going to suffer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the one level of assuming and stereotyping that really isn't fair. And then, of course, it's what you said, Juliet, which is this idea that even when you are on maternity leave, well, really, you're just at home. Like, what exactly could you be doing?
Yeah.
Which is unfair because you're relearning a new role. That's the whole reason why they give you that leave. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you might as well be coming into work, no?
Yeah, some of us, I think, would rather be doing that. But, you know, and the other thing is that, oh, the baby sleeps. So, you know, do stuff while the baby sleeps. There's washing to be done. There's, you know, feeding your other children if you have them. There's
or just taking a much needed break.
Getting some sleep. Yeah. Yes, you know, and all these things are just overlooked.
And, you know, when I was doing the interview with Hyang Lee as well, she was talking about the difference between motherhood penalty and fatherhood bonus and how men are not, you know, if they have time for both work and the child, it's seen as you're a very committed husband versus a mother is just expected to do those things. And I guess that adds a lot to the pressure that women feel, especially when they do have a job to go back to after that as well.
Yeah, so on the side of, let's say, your family, for example, when you do work, right, they are like, why are you not focusing on the baby? So there's just no winning, really.
Mm. And really, I mean, even when you look at something like paternity leave, we so often view maternity leave as a necessity.
Mm.
Paternity leave is viewed as a privilege.
Mm.
And therefore, when a man, even if he's working in an environment or a company where he's given equal paternity leave, it's not necessarily viewed in the same light. It's not viewed as him taking a step back from his career.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas for most women, that's the perception that they have to struggle against.
Yeah, and I think it's really interesting as well that, you know, speaking of paternity leave, that in the news recently, Japan's environment minister, Shinichiro Koizumi, is going to be the first cabinet minister in Japan to publicly commit to taking paternity leave, to take that time to care for his firstborn child. And I guess it shows that, you know, people are willing to make that change. And it goes back to that whole idea of shared parenting, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not, the responsibility doesn't just lie with the woman, but it is something that is shared in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do we want to do a final check-in on our social media poll?
Yes, so we were asking you if you think that women who go on maternity leave should still be on call for work. So 57% of you say no, they shouldn't be. 36% of you say only for emergencies. And 7% of you say yes, they still should be on call.
So you can continue to take that poll or you can WhatsApp us your thoughts. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. If you'd rather connect with us on Facebook, look for us. We are BFM The Bigger Picture if you'd like to drop us a message there. If you've missed any part of today's show, you can download the podcasts on bfm.my/dailydigest on the BFM app or on Spotify. We will leave you now with Mother and Child Reunion by Paul Simon on the Daily Digest, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.